Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. And Christmas is drawing nigh. And I will be sharing from the Gospel according to John, according to St. John, according to Apostle John, in what is listed as chapter 17. And I will get to chapter 18 if time allows, but it probably will not. And I will be finishing the Gospel of John just in time to share the words concerning the coming into this world of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. But here, from what again is listed as chapter 17 in the Gospel according to St. John, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now the beginning of chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. The hour is come. Time and time again we have seen throughout the Gospel of John, and we find it in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that there is reference that his time had not come. His time was not come. But now, Jesus states, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. There are those who will claim that Jesus, well, he may have been a good person. He may have been intelligent and insightful and talented and knowledgeable and a fine teacher, mentor, leader of men. And what have you. May have even been a prophet. But that's the end of it. The Anglican Church, the Church of England, one of its highest leaders, some years ago, here in recent times, he stated something to the effect that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just a conjuring up of bones, and so forth. His point being that Jesus was not resurrected, did not ascend into heaven. And so all of Jesus's claims are false. Now, mind you, this man was like number two man in the Anglican Church. And as utterly unsaved, reprobate, apostate, heretical as you can get. And that's in a Protestant denomination, a mainstream, high church denomination. But without going into the multitudinous, myriad wrongs and sins of this denomination and that denomination, suffice to say that Jesus Christ is God the Son, the only begotten Son of God, the only name given under heaven by which we may be saved. I'm sure you've seen the clever wording . There are variations of it, but no, spelled N-O, Christ, no, spelled N-O, Christmas. Or they can have Jesus instead of Christ. And then, no, K-N-O-W, Christ, no, K-N-O-W, Christmas. Or again, Jesus instead of Christ. A very simple, humble, modest, plain little wording, but packs a punch. It is so true. Without Jesus, without Christ, there is no Christmas. Not just no holy day Christmas, but nothing that God accomplished in providing a Savior for we sinful, fallen, lost people. But if you know Christ, if you know Jesus, then the power of Christmas, the power of Christ, the power of the resurrection of Christ, following the power of his atoning sacrifice, and following his resurrection, the power of his ascension is available to us. The Lord Jesus Christ came with a purpose, came with a cause. He was sent not to suffer and die for one person. If you were the only person, Jesus would have come and sacrificed and so on and so forth for you. Hogwash, diametrically contrary to Scripture. And yet, just one of those favorite little ditties that hireling ministers are fond of throwing out there. It makes people feel warm and fuzzy and all of that. But to know Christ, to know Jesus, should be to love him. You know the saying, to know me is to love me. Well, there certainly would be a great many that would probably disagree as far as that goes, pertaining to myriad peoples, certainly including myself. To know him is to love him, really. Well, to know Jesus should be to love him. The Lord Jesus Christ, again, said to the Father, "The hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Not for self-glorification, but to glorify God the Father. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God the Father gave all power to God the Son, Jesus the Christ, that he should give eternal life to as many as God had given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The Western nations of Europe, UK, Scandinavia, North America, South America, and what have you, around the world, some very, very, very many of these most blessed nations, blessed with Christianity to the greatest degree, the greatest witness there, and involved in their history during a great deal of time of the past 2 millennia. In so very many of these places, dare say all of them, there is this groupthink mindset that to insist that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are the only true God, that is intolerant. Intolerant, hateful, intolerable, and what have you. Yes, in these nations which used to be known as Christendom, and then there are many others, but the core nations that were at one time known as Christendom, now to profess, to witness, to testify that God Almighty, God the Father of Jesus Christ and his Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that they are the only true God, that is intolerable, unacceptable, bigoted, and what have you. But it is absolute bedrock truth. And absent that, you don't have the gospel of God. Jesus didn't come to suffer and lay down his life and die so that all of we lost, foolish, sinful people would still die separated from God and inherit eternal damnation. That was not the plan, nor was it the plan that all people who reject and resist and refuse God the Son would inherit eternal life. Neither of those were the plan. Neither of those happened to be the truth of the way things are. Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And that work that he finished was giving himself as an atoning sacrifice acceptable with God the Father for the remission of sins for all of us who should embrace him as our Savior and Lord. Our Lord and Master. Our King of Kings. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus glorified God the Father. He finished the work that he was given to do, that he was sent to do by God the Father. And he says to God the Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. It is so commonplace throughout Christianity, at least in the Western nations. All of the places that have the longest, richest Christian traditions, history. So common. To distort and dissemble God's word. And to expound doctrines and dogmas and theologies that are man-created and man-centered, and which grossly, criminally misrepresent the Word of God, the truth of God. And make it out as if God the Father and Jesus Christ are vastly different. And God the Father, he's harsh and severe and judgmental and punishing and so forth. And Jesus, he is just this sloppy, agape, uber compassionate, excessively forgiving, so meek that is weak, so kind and gentle and loving, and completely different from God the Father, even though God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were all together before the world was. Before this world was, they were together. They were all involved intimately in the creation of this world, in the creation of man and woman, in the creation of all that was good, before it was corrupted and perverted and degraded. But the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Oh, but he's not God. Really? The Apostle John attests that he is the Word, the living Word, that he is the light of men, which lighteneth every man that cometh into this world, every person that comes into this world. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. I have shared thy word with them. I have taught them thy word. I have worked these works and finished these works and manifested thy name and glorified thee in so doing. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, because he taught us that. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. He came not of himself, as he attests elsewhere, I came not of myself. He was sent by God the Father on a mission impossible, which he did not decline to accept. You hear of suicide missions, Here was one where the Lord Jesus Christ, if he fulfilled God's purpose and plan, would not survive. No, he did not take his own life. No. That is not of God. But it was truly an impossible mission. Supremely so. And one that he could not survive if he were to fulfill the word of God. And he came on this mission on behalf of we sinful, lost, foolish people. Unthankful people. Ungrateful people. All imperfect, and many on this earth, not the majority, but many evil ones on this earth. He wasn't sent for the sake of the evil. That would have been a fool's errand, but I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And surely there are those who will disagree vehemently that of course he came for the evil. No, he didn't even come for those whom he describes as the world, let alone for the satanic servants of Satan. No. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. glorified through them by the Holy Spirit. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. He said this while he was yet on this earth. He stated that he was no more in the world. He is in the shadow of the cross, virtually. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. As in Luke 22, he speaks to Peter, Simon Peter, Cephas. He says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. It's one of the most curious passages in the Word of God. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And the next statement is, when thou art converted. It's a remarkable statement. And I shan't spend further time on it at the moment. But suffice to say, Jesus says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. He kept Simon Peter from being overcome by evil, by praying for him. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. None of them is lost but the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This is absolutely at the core of the mission of Jesus, is that the scripture might be fulfilled. The scripture that is being fulfilled is, in a manner of speaking, the entirety of the Old Testament. All of the prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the prophecies throughout the law and the Psalms and the prophets, not merely the great prophets, but all of the prophets, the law and the Psalms and the prophets, all throughout the Old Testament, all of the prophecies concerning the Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, are being fulfilled by him, through him. And the Jewish hierarchy, the Jewish leadership, the Jewish rulership are up in arms against him, at war against him, serving Satan, bent on the destruction of the only begotten Son of God, the only name given under heaven by which we may be saved. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What's that about? The world hates them. Because they are not of the world. They have been elevated, if you will, by the Word of God, by the truth of God. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Unlike the Roman Catholic priests, monks, nuns, and so forth, that would eke out their days at some remote habitations, separate from the sinful people, because of course they were not sinful, they were holy. So they would spend their lives at a convent or an abbey or such. All of them know. Absolutely not. There were Catholic priests that went to the mission field. The state of California attests to that, as do so many places in the United States of America and so many places outside of the United States of America. But the Roman Catholic Church has it so terribly wrong. Its deliberate distortions, misrepresentations, corruptions, and perversions of the Word of God and rulership of people have not faithfully represented God and His Christ. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And again, John the Apostle testifies that Jesus is the Word. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And yet, as we follow the apostles, after the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, the apostles very, very belatedly went into the world. They very, very belatedly went to the nations with the good news, with the truth of God. It's not to say that none of them did. But They certainly were none too prompt about it. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Their word being their preaching, teaching, witnessing the word of God that they received from God the Son, and that was contained within the Old Testament and fulfilled by God the Son. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed not only for the apostles and the disciples, for the women that ministered to him, for these who were faithful to him and followed him, but he prayed for us millennia ago. 2 millennia ago, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us. All of us who should believe on him through their word, through the word of the apostles and those whom they would preach to and teach and witness to, for those who have gone before us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So this world, which hated the Lord Jesus Christ, which hated his apostles, his disciples, his followers, he prays that that world of people may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, the apostles. The disciples, his followers, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus here is not only speaking of himself loving his own, loving the apostles, the disciples, the followers, but of God the Father. You know, that harsh, severe, punishing, judgmental God Almighty loving them. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. In agreement, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, in absolute agreement, one accord. Even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. So that the world may know that thou hast sent me and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. My glory given to me by you, that they may behold it. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Indeed, God the Son was with God the Father before the creation of the world, before the foundation of the world. And he loved his only begotten Son, not only before in terms of chronology, but before in terms of vastly more greatly. Preeminence. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Over and above. Above and beyond. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. The Lord Jesus Christ testified, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The world hath not known thee. But I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. So while God the Son, the only begotten Son of God, was in complete agreement with God the Father, complete agreement with God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, in devising this plan, in making this preparation and this provision for the atonement of sinful mankind, that we might be spared eternal suffering, that we might become heirs, co-heirs with Christ Jesus, that we might inherit the kingdom of God, eternal life in the eternal kingdom of God. Yet, Jesus says time and again that he was sent by God the Father. He didn't send himself, he was sent by God the Father. That harsh, severe, judgmental, punishing God sent his only begotten Son, whom he loved before, above and beyond, over and above all of we sinful people put together. And despite that, he sent him. Sent him to suffer the slings and arrows of dishonor, of disgrace, of vile, hateful, malicious, malevolent, slanderous lies, which have continued on down through the millennia, courtesy so often of theologians who serve Satan, who are of the synagogue of Satan. Some within Jewry, some within Roman Catholicism, others within Protestant denominations. And then, of course, the avowed atheists and so on and so forth. But the Lord Jesus Christ's sufferings in terms of dishonor to his name, to his person, they have continued through these millennia. All manner of ways with people taking his name in vain, using his name as a swear word, using his name as a gag line in movies and TV movies and TV series and radio shows and what have you. Making all manner of slanderous, damnable accusations. Not to mention, in addition to all of the direct affront to Jesus the Christ and God the Father, there then are what you might call indirect attacks, which are leveled at God the Father, God the Son, through the servants of God. Vicious, ruthless persecution of his servants, trying to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the unbelievers. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. He was not speaking only of some primitive tribe on some untouched island or some untouched area of the globe deep in the heartland of some continent. Some inaccessible place, up some river and what have you. No, he was speaking when he said, the world hath not known thee. He was talking about this world full of people that included many who considered themselves intelligent, knowledgeable, educated, well-educated, and so many of them religious leaders. O righteous Father. Oh, but we know, of course, you know, we can't speak of anything with regard to any absolutes concerning righteousness because no one can say what is right and what is wrong. There is no right answer, except that no one can say what is right. That's the way it is in this perverse world, including this perverse nation, the United States of America, and the rest of the nations comprising what used to be known as Christendom. But O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I have declared unto them thy name, not my name, thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The high and mighty, wise and wonderful scholars, including many theologians and professors of ethics, so-called, and political leaders and governments and what have you, insist that the truth of God is simply a matter of personal opinion. It's subjective. It's just personal opinion. That's all it is. It's not fact. And meanwhile, they assault us, believers in Christ, with all manner of lies that they claim are facts. And all manner of laws diametrically contrary to the truth of God. And it will only continue to worsen and to get darker as we approach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. One famous, I don't mean to pick on him, so I won't mention him by name, but one famous televangelist, Christian leader with various organizations and so forth to his name, his theology, his personal theology, which he imparted to multitudes, included the premise, and he's still kicking, as far as I know. Haven't seen anything to the effect that he's not. But included this remarkable, foundational premise that we need to prepare the world, to recover the world, specifically this nation, to usher in the return of the Lord. Well, I'm not opposed to, by any stretch of the imagination, recovery and restoration, revival in this nation and around the world. By no means. But God makes it clear in His Word that things will grow worse and darker before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought not deceive ourselves into believing something that's comfortable and convenient in the place of the truth of God. We ought not. I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Heavenly Father, Holy God, lead us, guide us, direct us into all truth, by thy Holy Spirit and through thy holy word for the accomplishment of thy purposes, thy plans, thy promises. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth and word and deed. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.